Welcome back to the Wildside News. And now, Sidney Wildsmith.
So which way will this debate develop? It's not going away anytime soon. Take a moment to think about your friends. Do they believe in evolution? Do they believe in God? Are the two compatible? Can you appreciate science and still hold on to your faith? We continue our discussion about evolution versus intelligent design when your voice of the earth continues here on the Wildside News. We continue our discussion with Wendy Holtkamp, evolutionary biologist and Christian, as she pens the thoughts for her new book that addresses what she terms the fish wars. I believe most of the intelligent design war is coming from a fairly fundamentalist Christian perspective as opposed to other less fundamentalist churches. Am I right about that?
Yeah, it seems to be that, well, the ironic thing is a lot of people within, you know, the people that are really pushing intelligent design will say that it's not a Christian movement. They'll say, you know, we don't even name the designer as God. And that's actually, to me, it's sort of misleading because when you look at the individuals, they, you know, there was a great article in the New York Times recently, and I think the Baylor University president said something like, you know, they won't claim that the designer is God, but we all know it's God. So they try to actually distance themselves from Christianity at all, but in reality we know that that's kind of misleading, and that's also part of what I'm going to talk about in my book. Why are they, you know, misleading about some of these things? But yeah, I think in general, I mean, I don't like too much to put labels on people, even though I just categorize everyone into the point. But you know, I attend a Lutheran church, and I wouldn't say it's fundamental at all, but I will say, you know, I agree with the tenets of the faith completely, but there are, you know, my pastor accepts intelligent design, and I think that a growing number of people in non-fundamentalist churches are accepting this because, you know, James Dobson has Philip Johnson on his show, and it's becoming mainstream when, like I said earlier, most people really don't understand what evolution says and why it's not necessarily an enemy of Christianity or of faith, and why intelligent design is not necessarily science. It's not, you know, and it's not really a great faith-based concept either.
The ultimate bottom line on this is that the intelligent design advocates are insisting and actually legalizing the requirement that these concepts be introduced in science classes.
Right, and yeah, to me, frankly, that's pretty scary. When you're taking a concept that's never been published and you're trying to introduce it into the classroom, because you can't vote science in and out of existence. But what's right is not always popular, and what's popular is not always right.
How would you place within the school setting, because this really has to do primarily with public schools, it is the public school sector, because in the private schools, people can teach whatever they want, more or less. But in the public schools, how would you place the interests of intelligent design in that matrix? Where does it belong, you feel, more properly?
I don't want to say it should be taught at all, frankly, but if there's a religion class or if there's a culture class, then these things can be discussed. It definitely does not belong in a science classroom.
I suppose what we need to ask next is, what do you see as the future of this debate? Because it is, in many respects, gaining quite a bit of momentum to the extent that in certain states it's been legislated as a requirement for classes. Where is this headed?
What I think is really important is that every person critically analyze their beliefs. And they think about not only what do I believe, but what beliefs did I inherit from my parents, from the culture I was born in, and are these, you know, what I read about in the media, is this true information, that what I'm going to close my book with is actually some tools so that people can figure out how do they analyze the reliability of information. If I hear something from an expert, how do I know that that expert is really an expert, or how do I know that that study was really funded by, you know, wasn't necessarily funded by some organization that maybe would make the results questionable. So I think it's just really important that people understand what science is and that it's different from the spiritual realm, and also just how to judge the reliability of information. I think as a writer and as a journalist, I talk to journalists on, you know, different lists, and I teach nature writing, and, you know, I just try to tell them, you know, our job is so important. The majority of the public learns about science from the media. And so what we write about, whether it's in the New York Times or in a magazine or on the web, you know, we really have to be careful of what we say. Scientists are very humble about their work, but sometimes when you interview a scientist, a journalist will edit out some of those words, like maybe, it seems like, that scientists like to use those words. And so in the media, it comes across like this is the end-all and be-all answer. But I think that the public really would do well to really try to understand science and the way it works and the difference between the result of a single scientific study versus a scientist's body of work versus a scientific consensus. Like evolution is a scientific consensus. It's not a single study. It's thousands upon thousands of studies over, you know, hundreds of years or a couple of hundred years. So I think that's where I would like the future of this debate to go, is that the citizens of this country and of the world need to really be educated in the way science works.
I guess there isn't going to be any simple answer on this one. I think it's going to be decided in the realms of politics, unfortunately. You do see a political side to all of this. What's your spin on that?
That's a good question. I don't think that science should be politicized. I think that what is taught in the schools should be what the science actually is, you know, revealing at that moment.
My mission is very similar to yours, I suppose, in some respects, in that I am trying to integrate science and religion to get people comfortable with this. Because from my perspective as a scientist, mm-hmm. I just do see a spiritual side to nature. I'm crying out for the wonder. I look at this earth and it is a miraculous reality. I don't know how it came to be. I can speculate in a thousand different ways. But the truth is, as a scientist, it's absolutely miraculous. It's actually, I'm kind of working the other way. I'm trying to bring this acknowledgement that there's something more to life mm-hmm. than a lot of scientists are prepared to talk about or discuss. I mean, it's very common to go into situations with even environmental issues where if you start as talking about the animals and their right to be, or that they have their own sense of reality or feelings, there's a lot of scientists and hardcore scientists in the room who are going to start rolling their eyes around and go, oh my God, it's one of those guys again, you know? And that's killing us to a large extent. That's killing the mission that I have, which is to try to really bring greater value and meaning and significance to the living realms that some scientists just, you know, if it's strictly science, and there's a lot of powerful scientists out there who see it that way, it's difficult to assign greater value to living things than that they're just, they happen to be a self-energizing, miraculous sort of machine, you know.
And I think actually that's one thing I'd like to add, is that the intelligent design debate is really harming faith and Christianity a lot more than it's doing any good, because I think a lot of scientists who know that evolution is a fact, they look at some, you know, the Christians that are saying, you know, you have to accept intelligent design or you can't accept evolution and have faith in there, they think that it's ridiculous. So, you know, I think in the long run that when the church can get behind the fact that sound science and faith do not have to conflict. Real sound science, not a pseudoscience that pretends to be a science. You know, when scientists can see that people of faith can actually embrace the reality of what science shows about the world, then they'll say, wait a minute, so maybe that's not quite so wacky after all. Maybe there is something to that, because I think you're right. I think most people, not everybody, but, you know, I think it's something like 90% of Americans accept some sort of universal spirit or believe in God, and I think it's 45% of scientists. So I think if we can get to the point where the church accepts that science and faith do not have to conflict, because actually it's the scientists already understand that for the most part. It's a lot of people within the church that don't quite get that. If we can get them, then maybe the scientists will say, maybe that is not so strange after all. There is a lot of wonder in the natural world.
One of the things that has frustrated me, just from the perspective of religions and churches, and we'll say in America, is that to some extent they've allied themselves with forces and powers and politics that tend to really abuse the gift, exploitation of forests, and allied with politics that don't want to enforce air standards or water standards, or to really embrace the science, for example, that says that global warming is a reality and ultimately could lead to the devastation of whole ecosystems and therefore animals, which are supposed to be part of God's creation. So I find a conflict there internally within some of the faiths that I'm hoping to be able to help to resolve through these types of discussions, mm-hmm. to say that actually science serves the faith community in their responsibility to take care of God's creation. If you see it as the gift of God to humankind, then there is also a responsibility to care for that creation. And this debate, which negates science almost and sort of attacks it in some respects, really tends to defeat their spiritual responsibility.
Yeah, absolutely. There's the whole creation care or stewardship. There's an increasing awareness that we were given the role of stewards over the earth, and that's not, you know, in contrast to some of the way that people have responded historically to, you know, divide and conquer the earth, that's really not what our responsibility is as stewards of the earth, that we do have a responsibility to care for God's creation and in a sense maybe recreate the Garden of Eden to keep the earth as beautiful and as we can. You know, we are part of the ecology of the earth as well, but we have a responsibility to the animals and the creatures that can't protect themselves because we're destroying their habitat.
I appreciate your bringing up creation care, because that actually is a movement as well, mm-hmm. within the Christian community. We'll say the religious community, because it is not just Christian. I might encourage anyone who is puzzled or thinking about this debate to give creation care and that movement as well a really serious look, because I really feel that it shows a wonderful responsibility towards this earth from the faith community that I fully embrace.
Yeah, absolutely. But there's quite a bit of writing out there too, just some incredible nature writing about simplifying your life, which comes back to, you know, what I was doing out in New Mexico, just living close to the earth and having a very simple lifestyle and reducing our energy consumption and those type of things are just really a responsible way to live and something that I'm trying to bring back. You know, as I mentioned in an essay that I wrote that you first read in E! Magazine, just about going back to nature and now returning back to my suburban lifestyle, thinking, well, I need to bring some of that here. I need to start, you know, thinking about my lifestyle again and how I can incorporate more of those concepts into my life here in the city.
We've been talking with Wendy Holtkamp, who's joining us from Houston. Wendy, if people want to learn a lot more about what you're doing and what you've done in the past, what's the best way to do so?
I have a website. It's wendyholtkamp.com. And that is Wendy, W-E-N-D-E-E, Holtkamp, H-O-L-T-C-A-M-P.com.
And as well as a writer, you teach writing?
Yes.
And how do you do that?
I teach an online nature writing course. It's a course about how to write about nature and the environment. I focus on if there's a lot of scientists that take my class, and there's writers that just want to break more into outdoor and nature and environment markets. So it's targeted for both aspiring and professional writers.
Now, you also suggested that the class is filled somehow?
I'm getting close to capacity.
That's interesting. It's very personal then as well. You must work personally with your students.
Oh, yeah. I give all the students a lot of feedback on their writing and on targeting the right markets. We do studies of, their dream market and how they can break in. And I have provide information, Q&As with editors from major national magazines. And so it's a very intensive class. I like to give people a lot of personal interaction. So.
And then as well, you're a photographer.
Yes, I've been doing photography. I'd say it's more of a hobby. I have published my photos, but writing is more my profession.
Mm-hmm. Well, I want to thank you for a very articulate and well-thought-out discussion of this this controversy that seems to be in the news every couple of days now. Wendy Holtkamp, thanks for adding your voice to the Wild Side News.
Thank you. It's been an honor to be here.
There's no doubt that nature holds the truth for all to see. And it's no secret that all the great religions are inspired by a God they see revealed in its beauty and transcendence. Yes, it is a mystery. And if you want to take a better look, stick around for our next segment as we head to far north country and a local nature study organization that just may be a place for you when your voice of the earth continues here on the Wild Side News.